Masechet Shabbat Daf Kaf, and we're starting at the Gemara on the Amud, two lines into the Amud. So the Gemara said when we learnt the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah started off and said, "Ein tzolin batzar batzalu beitza elikadesha yitzolu mibod yom." If you're going to cook an egg or an onion or meat, so you can't start roasting unless it'll be roasted already kadesha yitzolu mibod yom. Right, and we never actually gave a measure there of what it means. Kadesha yitzolu mibod yom. That's the Gemara's first question. The Gemara's first question over here is v'chama. So how much is it? What is it called? Kadesha yitzolu mibod yom. How much does it have to be cooked by that day? So I'm Rabbi Lazar. This is I'm Rabbi Lazar. Kedei, Amarav, in the name of Rav, Kedei she yitzolu mibod yom, kemachal ben drusai. Now anybody who's ever learned halachas of Shabbos is familiar with this term, machal ben drusai. Some people say machal ben dorsai, machal ben drusai, depending on all different pronunciations. Well, the Gemara here, and this is the first time it's mentioned in Shas, mentions, calls him machal ben drusai. So machal ben drusai was, they were ganovin, they were crooks. If you look at Rashi over here, listim haya, they were crooks. Umevashel bishulo shlish, and they were always living on the run, so therefore they never had time to fully cook their food, so their food was always cooked a third cooked. As long as a third cooked, they would eat it. I don't know any biologist here, Robert, is any third cooked, is it good enough to get rid of all the diseases? He's our bio man, yeah. So would anybody, anyhow. But there seems to be, they thought that if it was the third cooked, it was already good enough to eat, and Chachamim used that as a measure. See, if it's a third cooked, it's already considered cooked. And we're in Barnami, you've got a Mamar as well. It's going to have we've all learned. Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan. Kol shehu kebacha ben drusai. Anything that's cooked, the level of macha ben drusai, ain't bo mishum bilusha nochrim. So the issue of bishul akum, if a goy cooks, if the food's already cooked a third, thank you, and now you hand it over to a goy to take over, or a goy brings food into his house, it's the third cooked already, he cooks it, not bishlakum, because it's already considered cooked as far as halacha is concerned. Tanya, Chanani Omer, Koshu Kevacha Ben Drusai, he said, because anything that's Macha Ben Drusai level, meaning a third cooked, also Machloke, we'll see it later on, whether it might be a third, might be a half. But here, remember, Rashi's the one who says, Bishulei Shlish, it's not a Gemara. That's already a Rishon. That's a Rishonim Machloket of what Malcha. Important to bear that in mind. Take a look at Rashi. You don't normally look at the Rashi. It's in the Rashi, right? It's the first narrow lines of Rashi. Rashi says there, Bishulo Shlish. The Gemara doesn't mention Bishulo Shlish. The Gemara just says, Macha Ben Drusai. Okay, so that enables the Rishonim to have Machloket. What is Macha Ben Drusai? Yeah, we'll get to that later. So now, Tanya Chanina Omer, we've got a Braita as well. This is also, this is Gemara Erevin in Psachim, Ola Veshas, Kol Shu Kemacha Ben Drusai, Mutar Lashoto Agabe Kira. You can leave it on a stove, right? For Shabbos talking about, even if it's already cooked that level. Afilu Afal Pish and Grufa Vektuma. We'll get to that in the next parak. Today we're going to start, please God, Parak Shaini. Parak Shlishi, if not mistaken, is Kira. I haven't got the this volume. But anybody's got a Gemara, almost, I think Shlishi is Kira, right? And we'll get to Kira, the Mishnah starts of Kira, Shena, Grufa, Uktumah, Kira, etc. We'll learn about all the things of Grufa and Ketuma, of what you have to do to clean out an oven to enable you to use it for Shabbos. The idea is to minimize the amount of potential for fire and Shema Yechate that you might come to stoke the fire. So says Chananya, right, that if it's already cooked a third up to Macha Ben Drusai, there's no problem sticking it into a kira that she ain't grew for k'tuma, which you haven't dealt. It was a fully fledged fire. Not a problem. Look at Rashi there. Kol shu mevushal b'yad Yisrael k'macha ben drusai. Shuv ein b'gmaro mishum mishlak lak. We said, okay, if a Jew cooked it already a third, then the goyim can cook afterwards. And garuf. Rashi, what is garuf? Garuf means garuf min ha-gechalim. Ligrof means to rake out, right? You've raked out the coals. B'magrefa, with the rake. Shekorin v'dili. Okay, that's where that. And katum. Katum is mefazrim efer milamalek that I think chomosh or yosif hevel b'shabbat. So there are two things you have to do on Shabbos. We'll come to it again in Parak Shlishi. You've got to rake out the coals. You've got to put ashes over the coals, which cool the coals down. V'ze tavshir shukabacha b'drusa lo chashidan imidbasher v'olech b'shabbat. He says that as far as Hanani is concerned, this food that's already cooked to the level of macha b'drusa, we don't worry anymore about it on Shabbos. We're not worried they're going to come to maybe do something to the fire. Okay. The Gemara carries on. In the Mishnah we had yesterday, the next halacha was, Einotnin pat letanurim chashaycha v'lo charaga b'gechalim. You can't put bread into the oven, right? And pat letanur. When it gets dark, so you buy it, right? And then the Mishnah carried on and said, "Ela kedei sheyikremu paneya mi ba'od yom." And I explained it yesterday, like that the bread should form a crust. Remember? So unless you got a chance that the bread will form some sort of a crust, you can't put it in erev Shabbos into the oven. So Gemara asks a question here: Ibai elehu, when we're talking about a crust, tachton ha'ich de gabe tanur. Or deal with tachton ha'ich the gabe ha'ur. Now, think of a tabun, where you stick the bread up on the side, right? And now the bread stuck to the side and it's exposed to the fire. So one half of the bread, this is the bread, this side is the oven, it's stuck to the oven. So here is the oven, here's the fire. So the Gemara's question is, when we say that yikromu, right? Look at the lashon in the Mishnah. It said, kadesha yikromu paneha, its face. Are we speaking about the part that's stuck on the oven that must get a bit of a crust, or the part facing the fire must get crust? Now, the great question here is it machmir or makil? Because one side will take quicker than the other side. That's a gross question. So he says, like, let's look at Rashi here. Tanur, he says the gabe tanur. Are we talking about that when we say tachto and aich the gabe tanur, the one that's on the oven, stuck up against the wall? Shakikarot, Rashi says, nidbakim bedofnei hatanur, so they're all stuck onto the oven, all around the oven walls. Hilchach mibai, this is the question. Hai kare tachton henech panim, tegabe dofnei hatanur, or panim aponim lemata, dechara tanur tzaur. What's called the panim, which is the face of the bread? Is it the part that's stuck up against the oven, or the part that's exposed to the fire? Right? Toshmagro brings a writer to try and solve this question. Toshmar Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kedei sheyikremu panea hamedubakin batanur. So he has the answer. Talk about the part that is stuck up against the oven. So really, we're not worried about the fire side. We want the part up against the wall to get, look at Rashi, with bakim batanur. And Rashi says, yeah, b'chumrehi. And that's a chumra. The panim sheklape ha'ur memaharin likrom. Because the part that's exposed to the fire will crust quicker. I suppose it makes sense, right? Because that's got the flame. The wall has to get hotter first. They have to get the heat via the wall. It'll take longer. So therefore, we're being machmir over here. And we want the part that's up against the wall to be crusted. Okay. Then the next halacha in the Mishnah was, So we said you can lower the korban pesach into the oven or into the fire. So Moses says, "Ma taiba, how come you're allowed to do this erev Shabbos?" Right? So we said, "Mishum de bnei chabur is rizinai." Halo halav hachil lo. He says it's obvious. Right? We remember Rashi explained this yesterday, and we said that because you're sitting in a big chabura, so you're a lot of people. If anybody would think for a second to stoke the fires, everybody else would shout him down and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 hang on," right? So Gemara said, "Well, wait a second, I don't understand. Ha'amar, didn't we learn almost 2 days ago? We had that whole thing when we had the question about the gedin ben sharik or ben sharik, the different types of meats. We had the ayil and we had the gedin. We said that the one was sensitive to wind, the one wasn't sensitive to wind, and we said we could cook the meat there. If the gedir was in the oven and the oven was sealed, you wouldn't worry because you wouldn't come to open it because it's bad for wind, etc." That's a good question. Wait a second, didn't we say two daf ago on daf yudchet, gedir bain sharik, bain lo sharik, shapidami, right? So that we said that if it was the gedir, right, if it was because there, even if it wasn't sealed, we didn't worry about you opening it. Why? Because it was scared to open because of the wind, and therefore you wouldn't come to cook it. Here the Korban Pesach is not sealed. Korban Pesach is completely exposed. Right? So how come there we had all these conditions that you had to have in order to allow the food to be in here. Here the Korban Pesach is completely exposed and just sticking it there, no problem. The Torah says no. Completely. Hata mintach, hachelo mintach. Right, look at Rashi. Hata mintach. If im poteach piatanur, ayo bezika, v'kashilei. Right? Hachelo mintach. Hachelo mintach dichtiv aroshov akivo im egalilei lo kashilei zika hilchach I lo tezrizin hein asu. Says there we had to have a reason. Why do we have all those reasons there of the gedi? Because the gedi was sensitive to the wind, so we didn't worry about people around because we knew that you wouldn't come to open it because it'll ruin your food. Here it's exposed, right? There's no problem with wind, so therefore milachatchil it should have been asus. That's why we have to have the reason of the chabura, because the chabura is what's going to prevent us from coming to stoke it. So maybe I didn't explain it properly to myself. Let me just go one more time. The Gemara is saying like this, yeah, you can leave it open, and they explained yesterday because of the Chabura. The Gemara said, I don't understand. The Chabura, right, why do we need a Chabura? There we could put the meat onto the coals, even without the Chabura. The Gemara said, no, you can't compare the two, because there it was meat that was sealed up, right? This isn't sealed, this is exposed. So this, you would come to stoke, it wasn't for the Chabura, it wouldn't prevent you from stoking, you would actually stoke the fires. So the Chabura is what helps us over here. Okay, then the next halacha we had in the Mishnah was, on the last line of the Amud yesterday, was Umachizine Ta'ur b'medrot Beit HaMoked, right? That we wanted the fire to at least take hold, right? Umachizine Ta'medrot. Rashi said there, Ma'at Ma'at Ba'etzim Amedrot Beit HaMoked, Shta Bazara, Vimit Ba'et Bolechim Mishetech Shach. Velo Chayshinan Shem Yukoanim Chichim Lahavira Mishetech Shach. You could slowly rot the fires, right? You never had to have the whole fire fully lit. Remember, we said Ubegvulin. We said yesterday, Kadesh Techozaur Berubo, the fire had to take hold on the majority of the fire had to be lit. In the Bada Moked, in the Bada Midash, was enough. There was a little fire. We didn't have to worry. We were less concerned. Right? And we said there as well yesterday that the reason was Bada Moked, Ishkag, Yisar, Ispatazer, Tochachatzer. Did we say in the Mishnah, or we said something because the Kohani was Rizim? Remember we said that as well yesterday. Yeah. But Rashi, v'machizin et ha'ur. Rashi yesterday is Amud on the bottom of the Amud. It says there, v'holech v'lo chayshinan shema yu kohanim tzrichin la'avira k'nefash b'gemora. But it doesn't say why, but he says that we aren't worried about it. The Gemara explained it. And I think we explained yesterday that the kohanim was risen, but we'll see now. So what's the Gemara's like, b'nani mili, right? Where do we know this from? Where do we know this from? Amar Rav Huna, how do we know? So he says, because lo tevaru eis b'chomos v'otechem, right? So he says, we haven't got a, all these things over here, right? Because whenever we make a gzeira, we're making a gzeira erev Shabbos for things that are asur on Shabbos, right? So here we're saying that there's no gzeira, or there is a gzeira. What's the question? Minani mili. So Amar Rav Huna, lo tevarash b'chomos v'otechem. We've got an Isra on Shabbos, Isra d'oraita. From a pasuk, it says, lo tevarash b'chomos v'otechem v'yom ha-shabbat. Anyway. Right? It says, b'chomos v'otechem v'yata ma'vir. Right? So the Gemara learns a limud that in the Beit HaMikdash it's okay. Why? Because b'chomos v'otechem means i'ata b'chomos, aval ata ma'vir b'medurat Beit HaMoked. The Gemara seems to say over here that Beit HaMoked is excluded from this issue. So the Gemara says, therefore it seems that Erev Shabbos we can light the fire and we aren't worried about whether the fire will continue to light. The Gemara's obvious question. If it's mutar lechatchila on Shabbos to light the fire, we're discussing Erev Shabbos. That's the Gemara's question. Matkif le'Rav Chisda, Chisda, I don't understand. Ihachi, if that's your makor, there's lo tevaru eish b'chomos v'otechem, you're learning a limud, b'chomos v'otechem, other than the Beit HaMikdash, then why are we talking about Erev Shabbos? Then it should be mutar on Shabbos to go and light a fire in the Beit HaMoked. Rav Chisda says, no. Kra kiata, really, that pasuk that came is not abakor. That's not why we can light it Erev Shabbos. That pasuk there we need, l'mashrei averim upedarim hudata. It came to teach us that you can, look at Rashi there, averim upedarim hudata, all the parts that you're going to stick onto the Beit HaMikdash, right? All the Evarim, all these things which we don't allow to be eaten, let's say. In this week's parasha, we've got all the Korbanat Chatat. We've got all the Chalev and the Yoter Takaved and the Klayot, etc. All those things you can't eat. You take out of the Korban and you stick them onto the Beit HaMikdash. That's the end of the process. And there they could burn into the night. So Rashi says over here, look here, Lahatiret Haktiran Kola Laila. About Medurat Bedamok, but actually light a fire in the Bedamidash in this room. She'enet Tzorich Gavo Elet Tzorich Kohanim. This isn't necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the fire burning there. It's not like the Korbanot. This is to keep the Kohanim warm. Lo Hutra. It's not part of that Heter. We can't allow it. V'samuch Lechashecha Hainu Taimed Lo Gazu. So now, nonetheless, why didn't they make Gzaira? Why did they allow Kohanim nonetheless to light the fire Erev Shabbos and not worry they're going to come to stoke the fire on Shabbos? Mishum the Kohanim Zrizin Haim. Because Kohanim are very Zariz. How do you say Zariz, somebody? They're very quick. They're very nimble. They're not going to make a virus. Come on, any Kohen, yeah, Steve, tell me, what does it mean?
Our scroll says conscientious.
Conscientious. Okay, very good. All right. Okay. I wouldn't have thought that Zariz means conscientious, but okay, we understand. They're giving an explanation more than a translation. What, Steve?
Vigilant.
Okay, that's a nice one, right. They were vigilant, right?
So what happened on Shabbos itself?
On Shabbos, the fire could burn. You can't light the fire. You can keep the fire there, but you have to put it out. That's why you can light it.
You have to add wood.
So you don't add wood.
You have to add wood.
Let's assume one of the miracles in the Beit HaMikdash, you wouldn't add wood, it would burn forever. I don't know. All right. Right? So he says, Shekulam ayu b'nei Torah. They were all Talmidei Chachamim. V'charedim v'niskarim. Okay, they were Charedim and they were Niskarim. Steve, you're a Charedi and you're Niska, right? So he says, "V'lo atu lachtuya mishetachshak," and they aren't going to come to make any lighting of fires or stoking the fire, etc. And that is why we're allowed. Okay, Gemara carries on. The Mishnah said on our Amud already we saw yesterday, "Ubegvulin kedei she teachoz," right? Ubegvulin she teachoz. In outside the Beit HaMikdash, we had to have at least haor berubo. The fire had to have taken hold of at least most of the wood had to be alight before you allowed it. So in our homes today, if you want to light a fire on a Friday Erev Shabbos to keep your house warm on Shabbos, you can do it, according to this Mishnah, as long as the majority of the wood in that fire is already burnt, already caught to light, not just one or two little sticks of wood. So now the Gemara says like this. My Ruban. So when we say here that as long as the majority of the fire is alight, what is the Rav over here? What are we talking about? So I'm a Rav. Rav says like this. He gives a definition. Rav kol echad ve'echad. Rav wants each and every piece of wood in that fire to the majority of it to be burned. In other words, you can't take the whole fire and say there are 20 pieces of wood in there, 11 already caught to light, that's the majority. No. Rav says every one of those 20 pieces of wood must be the majority of it. A lot. Ushmua, and look at Rashi there. Kol echad ve'echad. Kol eitz ve'eitz. Ve'lo taimah, says Rashi. And don't say, kevan she'achza barov minyan ha'eitzim. Like I said, 11 out of the 20. Don't say that. Ushmua lamar. Shmua says, kedei she'lo yomru havei eitzim v'naniach tachtehen. Shmua says less. Shmua says, no, we need much less. He says, as long as look at Rashi, kedei she'lo tzarich lomar havei eitzim dakim. Don't say, bring us some twigs and stick them under this wood to catch the light. Which Shmuel says, no, as long as you're already happy that the fire's on its way, that's good enough. So we see a Ravya is being machmir, Shmuel is being makir. Tan Rav Chia, Lesuya Shmuel. So the Gemara brings a brighter here of Rav Chia. Remember, we learned this before, it's just worth mentioning again, that Rav Chia was on the cusp. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he was at the end of the period of Amora of Tanaim, and he was also at the beginning of the period of Amoraim. So we saw a cloud before. We saw this once before that when Rabbi Chia is brought as Amar Rabbi Chia, he's talking as an Amora, and when he's talking Tana Rabbi Chia, he's talking as a Tana. Okay, so it's important. So we're bringing a Tana Rabbi Chia to support Shmuel. We're actually bringing a Tanaic source here to support Shmuel, and he says Tana Rabbi Chia to see Shmuel. Rashi says over here, "Beperuk b'mem adlikin." Right, I think we're going to start that parak today. Right, just now it's parak shiny. Legabe menorah lahalot ner tamid. When it came to the menorah there to light the ner tamid on the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, sheteh shal hevet olah me'alea, because there it had to light up properly. You could just light the flame and it starts burning on its own. Right, alma bechihai gavna havia hadlaka mishum Rabbi Yehuda Levi. So bring Rabbi Yehuda Levi's name. I'm okay. Rashi's got a lot of kashyas over here. I'm leaving out his problems. But that's the pshat here is that Rabbi Chiya said when we were speaking there about lighting the menorah, says Kedei she'teh shalevet ola me'aleha ve'lo she'teh shalevet ola al-yedei davar acher. So as long as the menorah, says Rabbi Chiya, if the menorah is lit enough that it will light, the balance of the flame will grow up on its own without needing any help, that's already good enough. And that's what Shmuel said. We have the same thing over here. Just take a second, now we're doing time-wise. Just take a second quickly and look at the Tosfot over here. Right down at the bottom there, Kedei she'teh shalevet ola me'aleha. It's the second last verse at the bottom of the Amud. It says, Alve b'makom shehikpil ha-katuv shelo yichbe, sagi she'teh shalevet ola me'aleha, ve'ein tzarich shteh ha-ptila sorefet berubas. It says, anytime the Torah says we got something to light on its own, it's good enough, he says, that the wick, right, will burn on its own, as long as you don't need something else to help, but that's really concerned good enough for to define the majority, the term of Rav. So we see that we've been pretty makil here as far as this is concerned. Now, up until now, we've been discussing fires, right? All this, we've been talking about fires, that we spoke about the Madura in the Beit HaMoked and the Gvulin. Now the Gemara speaks over here about an Eitz Yechidi, a twig. If you've got just a simple piece of wood, right? How long, and you want to light that before Shabbos. So how much would that need to have been to be have caught to light before Shabbos to be considered that it's lit and you're not going to come to worry about it? So Rav Amar, Rav of Yo. Rav says, I'm going to need some help over here. So those of you who've got English Gemaras, put your marks on, please. He says over here, Rav of Yo. Va'amrela barov hekefo. Now, rov of yours, I understand it means if the wood is, say, this thick, I don't know, like this. So the majority of the thickness of the wood, rov of yours, the ovi, the thickness, right? Then some say
circumference.
No, we haven't got there yet. You're jumping the gun, Ed. That's rov of yours.
Oh, you're right.
No, it happens every now and again that I'm right. Rov of yours, right? He says, Rav of Yo, Amrila Barov Hekefo. He has the circumference. So I'm not 100% sure what is the difference between the circumference and the thickness. Because if it's a round piece of wood, so then the majority of the circumference is the majority of the thickness.
The circumference is the outside of the wood.
And the thickness?
It's harder for the fire to burn through the wood to the Ovyo. And it's easier for it to just encircle the wood.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. So Rav of Yor would mean that actually the wood is burning inside, and Rav Hekefo means it's burning around it on the outside. Ah, score. Yep. I couldn't work this out. Okay, thank you. Okay, right. But yeah, Rav of Yor, yeah, Rav of course. So Ketanai, and the Gemara says, that's like a machlok, Ketanai. Sorry. So I'm Rav Papa says, because we're not sure now what's going on over here, so he makes a nice compromise and he says, we want them both. Hilchach ba'ina rov of yo, uba'ina rov ekefo. So now he says, in order for it to be considered burnt, we got a chumrah and we want it both. And he says, a kitnai. He says, that's about loketanai. He says, not making it up. Rabbi Chiya Amar, you see that here, Rabbi Chiya has been brought here as a machloketanai. Can you see? Rabbi Chiya has been brought here as a tana. So that's Rabbi Chiya here as a machloketanai. Right, Ketanayim. Rabbi Chiya Amar, the Haggadah Bach changes that from Kedai to Ad. He says, Ad she yishchata eitz v'melechet ha'uman. He says, Rabbi Chiya says that the wood has to no longer be suitable, that no one can use it. An artisan can't use it, it's gone. It's finished. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateir Omer, Kedai she te'achez ha'esh b'shnei tzadim. He says, no, that when is the wood considered wood? When on both sides of it, the fire has already taken hold. Now it makes sense to me what Shnei Tzadim means. Rashi says here, Rav Hekefo. I never understood why Rav Hekefo was two sides of it. I thought two sides meant on either end. But now I understand that Rav Hekefo means all the way around. Shkoch. Okay, now it all makes sense to me. V'afa pishein raya ledavar, the Gemara says, so we already haven't got afa pishein raya ledavar, zechela. We've got some sort of pasuk which can in some way infer this. Right? Because it's like this. Et shnei k'tzotav achla ha'esh. V'tocho nachar yitzlach le'melacha. So he says, the pasuk that he quotes over here is the pasuk in Yechezkel. Et shnei k'tzotav, both its sides. You see, k'tzotavia, I thought meant the k'tzavot, the ends, which it actually does mean between you and me. But anyhow, right? Achla ha'esh v'tocho nachar, and the inside is also already like burnt. Hayitzlachim lacha, is it any good for work anymore? So he says, yeah, from our papa, we need both inside and outside, and that is when a piece of wood would be considered burnt. Okay, shkoch. Right, and now the Gemara carries on and says, okay, the next pasuk that it brings here is another pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, v'hamelech yoshev beit achoref b'chodesh ha'tshi'i. So in the ninth month, right? So what month is that? That's just past it now, right? So we are now in Adar. That's the 11th month. So go back 2 months. Help me there quickly. On the Tevet, Shvat, Tevet, right? Tevet. So in Tevet, we know today is Chodesh Nisan. You're right, but is it the 30th or the 1st?
Just only one day, okay?
It's the 1st. Okay, so you're right, David. Okay, yesterday was in the Adar.
It also happens once in a while.
Absolutely. No, it happens with you much more than once in a while, David. Me, it's once in a while. Okay. Right? So he says, like, right, so now, v'ha'ach. Ha'ach lefanav mevo'eret. And ha'ach, yeah, we know what ha'ach is, right? And ha'ach is like a kamin, like these fireplaces, you have these big steel things. So the Gemara, but the Gemara isn't sure what ha'ach is. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, ha'ach? V'ach lefanav mevo'eret. My ach, what's an ach? So Amar Rav says, achvana. Right, look at Rashi. What's achvana? Rashi says, yeah, ach, it's the first wide lines. He says, ach is arava. Arava is like a willow, right? Ach, he says, is achvana. So the first answer is nothing to do, like I said, it's not a fireplace, it's just firewood of a willow. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no. Eitzim shenich nidlaku ba'achvana. Rashi says, yeah, ba'achva. Right, kol ha'etzim nidlakin zeh mizeh hakatam adikarelo. So when they all burn together, like friends, that's v'achva, right? V'achva v'reut, right? In brotherliness, like comrades. That's what it means, they all burn together. They're trying to understand the Gemara what this pasuk here means, v'ha'ach. Right? Hahud amar lehu, and he brings proof of it. He says, the guy who said to the other guy, man bayi achvana. Right? He says, what do you want? Man bayi achvana, ishtakach arvata. He says, who wants achvana? I found arvata. Okay. So he says over here, amar avuna kanim. So that's the proof over there that it means basically they're all burning together. And if you look at your Likuta Rashi at the bottom there quickly, he says there, Perusha Abotainu, Eitzim Hashem Shlidakim Ba'achva, Klomar Shemadikim Zeh Mizeh Ka'achim, Shemahanim Zeh Lezeh. Right, he said, like brothers who help one another, so too the fire, the woods help one another. Ulefi Pshuto Mashma, Shu Kli Shemavarin Alav Ur Lifnei Hasarim. He says that via Rashi, in this Likuta Rashi in Yirmiyahu, on the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu itself, he says it seems like it's some sort of instrument that they make, that they warm up the fire in front of the ministers. So he's either like some sort of like what those things called, those like stokers, those like air stokers, or maybe an oven of some kind or whatever. We use the word ach today for a fireplace. Gemara carries on, and now we start discussing the actual lighting of all different types of fuels. And again, how much we need, whether we need Rov, that it all has to have taken caught to light before Shabbos, or we don't need Rov. So it's like Amar Avuna, Kanim, right? Kanim, or like Kanim is straw, right? Or reeds, or whatever. It says, Ein Shechin Rov Agdan. Ein Shechin Rov. You don't need Rov. If they're just loosely spread out, you can just light them as long as that you've lit them one or two, it's fine. And the pshat of here is why, because it'll light very quickly. Agdan, if you tie them together in bundles, so then the Gemara says, then trichin rov. Then you do need trichin. Look at Rashi, yeah? Ain trichin rov. Lahatzitra or beruban. Why? Me'ev Shabbos. Ela ma'achiz bayin orum mi'bo'od yom. The fire catches early on. If we sh'ain kabin v'hochin in a dorkin v'hochin. They don't extinguish these things. They spread like wildfire. However, if you've bundled them together, then says Rashi, because the flame can't get into them. So it becomes much harder now for the fire to work. So if you've got to wait until it's fully lit, majority is alight before Shabbos, so you won't come to sort out the fire. I'm going to give another example, garinin, again, like seeds that are spread out. If you're going to burn seeds, and tzrichin rov, nitnan betoch chalot tzrichin rov. But if you put them into some sort of kli, into baskets, Right, look at Rashi here. Garinin shel tamara. He says, yeah, date seeds. I don't know what that is. Imasamia medura lekeshiyavsh. When they're dry, you can make a fire from them. And shechinov natnan betochalot bachotalot. Sorry, but if you put them into kadim, he says, shosim melulavin, made of lulavin, right? Like some sort of reed baskets. Natana klima le medura. You put the whole basket into the fire. So yeah, tzrichin rov. Then you do need rov l'vishne, but tzrin yachad. They all clumped up together. Then ashal hevet yocholali kres. But again, the fire, difficult for the fire to get into it. Right now, the worst luck is matkif. Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is yet opposite. So up until now, we've seen that the kanim and the garini, if they're on their own, they don't need rov. If they're in the bundles, they need rov. So yeah, the says Rav Chisda, the exact opposite. Adraba ipcha mistabra. The exact opposite makes sense. Why? Kanim mevadran agdan. Lo mevadran. Look at Rashi. Kanim mevadran lekan lekan. He says, if you got baskets there, so like one thing sticking out here, one thing sticking out over there. V'chat min ayotze lo timsat chaver to levara. And if they're in a bundle, right? So he says, and if they're out, sorry, all over the show, right? Lo timsat chaver to levara. They won't find their friends. They're all over the show. They won't help each other catch a light. If you haven't put them into a bundle, you do need rov. Because if one little twig catches a light, how's it going to get the fire to the next twig? They're all over the show. He says, on the contrary, when they're not attached, you want rov. He says, Ela Agdan, if they're all together, lo mevadra, they don't spread out. Ain't shukin rov, the chen garin, such to seeds. He says, the opposite. When they're together, we can rely that they're all going to catch a light. When they spread out, we've got to make sure they're all lit. Right, it says, Mistaba Kami Badin, I don't know about Karim Vadin Natan, but Tuchel Lobavad. Was it my Nami? We got also a Mamar as well. So we have Itmar Nami. Am I on Amul Betna? Yeah, Itmar Nami. Amar of Kahana. Kanim She Agdan. Now here we've got a little bit of a problem. Here we've got a Milchemet Agir, sort of a bit of a battle with the Girsas. The Vilna Gaon, if you look at those square brackets there, that's the Hagot Agra. So the Vilna makes a lot of changes. Firstly, he takes out a lot of stuff, and he changes things around now. So he says, Amrav Kahana, Kanim She'agdan, he says, Ain Trichin Rov. If they bundled, they don't need a Rov. That is going like the first Mamar, not like Rav Chisda. Our Gemara says, no, our Gemara reads it as, Rav Kahana, Kanim She'agdan, Trichim Rov, which go like Rav Chisda. So I'm not sure how to read it over here. The Vilna Gaon's going to own different version. And the Vilna Gaon takes out, Lo Agdan En Shechim Rov, Garin Shechim Rov, Natan Betochel En Shechim Rov. He takes it all out. So there are two ways to read it. Rashi goes with the version of our Gemara. Rav Kana Mar Kanim Shagdan Shechim Rov. They do need Rov. Rav Huna, he says, like Rav Huna, De Lo Aili Bay Nura, Ula Avdurei Lo Chashinan, De Aruchina En Kvadim. He says, if they all battle up together, they hear these stories, so you won't have to worry about it. But like I said, the Gra changes it completely. If you look at the Vilna Gaon quickly, I've got a Gra there. He says, Nira Bay Nai Ain. He says, you should actually put there Ein. Girsa La Rosh. He says, that's the version of the Rosh. But the Rif for Rambam, God said, Kol HaShmai Tebehetech B'Girsa La Rosh. He says, the Rif for the Rambam got a different version. So the Rishonim had different Girsas here of this Gemara. So we will just read them both in Kerala. Okay, Tanya Rav Yosef. Arba Medurot Ein Tzuchin Rov. Rav Yosef says, there are four types of fires. And Rashi says, yeah, Medurot, if you look at the last wide lines, Lashon Hesek Gadol, a big fire. He says, Medura means a big fire, like a bonfire. He says, Ein Trichim Rov. What are those? Shel Zefet v'shel Gofrit. So Zefet is like pitch or tar. Shel Gofrit is sulfur. Right? V'shel Gvina. Now, the Gemara says Gvina, the Gra as well, changes it to Kira. Right? He says, so I'm not sure, how, in the article, or the Kshtanzas there, how do they translate that there? What do they, if they have a different word there? Or is it Gvina? What
dry
do they say?
Cheese.
Cheese?
Dry cheese.
Robert, the article English?
It also says cheese, but it references that it could be Kira.
Could be Kira, right? And do they get, what do they mean by Kira there? Wax?
Yeah, it says in the Rif's text, the word Kira appears in place of Gavina.
Right, so Kira is wax, right?
Yeah.
I think, right? Okay.
It's wax. Yeah.
Wax, right? Okay. Right, Kira, we'll see it later on in today's, the rest of the daf today. Okay, Vashil Revav. Rashi says Revav, Shuman Vashava, Vachol Davar Hanitach. Rashi says Revav is anything that melts. Okay, so he said like this. So those are the four different things: so Zefet, Gofrit, Gvina or Kira, and Revav. Right? That's what he says. Says Rav Yosef. We Magnita. We got a Brite as well that adds on to these examples. Afshel Kash, even straw. Right? Rashi says Yaznavot Shibulin. right? Like the tails of the kernels, right? That we cut in the fields. Vashel gvava. And what's gvava over here? Is there a Rashi there of gvava? Yo, shegovavin min asadeh. Anything that you like, the leftovers that you gather up, like any straw or stuff, all small pieces that you make a big bundle together from, any of those things will not need a rov, because all these things we've spoken about here burn very quickly. Rabbi Yochanan, etzim shel bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan says there's the Babylonian wood and shechin rov. It probably also burns very quickly. Matkar Rabbi Yosef, mahi. So he says, what is this that you're speaking about, this Babylonian wood? He says, ilay mesilti. If you say it's silti, Rashi says, yal achar sha'asa'um etzim dakim v'babel do'agin kain. They chopped up into very fine wood in Babel. They chopped the wood up very finely. So then, hashta patila. Then that's not wood. That's now, for our purposes, a wick. Because you've taken the wood, chipped it up into very small little pieces. That's already a wick. So why is that different to anything else? Look, Rashi says, hashta patila. She'll beg it at vula b'shem v'noach. Like the same as if you take a bit of cloth and roll it up and you put it into fabric, into oil, it burns very nicely. So amula hamadlik, tzarich she'adlik parova yotze. So he says, no, hamadlik. Look at Rashi there. Hamadlik ner shel shabbat, tzarich. Yeah. I thought it was a new subject. I thought I got confused here. Kamar ule hamadlik ner shel shabbat shich shadlik barova yotze mirosh apetila chutz laner. So he says that's a little bit different. He says because anyhow, when so he says kamar ule hamadlik, so with using a regular wick, we know you put into the can, you get the majority of the wick to burn. Still to me, bayi. So what's the chap kochman? Says it's obvious. He says I'm Rabbi Yosef shuched da arza. What shuched da arza? Says yaveshu vedak from the cedar tree. Vayesh kemin tsemer ben klipa leitz. There's a bit of like a wool. You know, often you see, you take a tree and you've got like these fibers in between the wood. We're speaking about that. That's what he's speaking about. And Rami Bar Abba Amar Zaza. Look at Mishra Shasa over there on the gimel, right? So he says over there, he says, Anaf shel eitz. So it's a branch of the wood, right? So that's what he's speaking about. So they're all trying to understand what... Rabbi Yochanan said about Eshel Bavel, all the different options that it could be. Adralach Yetziat HaShabbat, Adralach Yetziat HaShabbat, Adralach Yetziat HaShabbat. Okay, please go, we start a new parak now. Let's move, we've got to move. Now everybody who davens Nusach Ashkenaz, or who used to once in their life daven Nusach Ashkenaz, knows that this is, you say, every Erev Shabbos. Right, so everybody knows this almost off by heart. Very few people actually know what any of the words are. I'll be honest with you, I was quite surprised at how difficult it was for me to actually read this Mishnah and have to look up every single translation. Yeah, I never knew what any of them were. And I said it, I don't know, for at least 26-7 years of my life, every single Friday, every single Shabbos, almost every Shabbos. The Mishnah said like this, Bameh Madlikin, right? Bameh Madlikin. This Gemara Mishnah also, by the way, is in Nazir and Nedarim. We learnt it, right? And we learnt Nazir. The Mishnah's there. Bameh Madlikin, Uvameh Ein Madlikin. So what?
Never learned Nazir.
Nazir, we never learned Nazir, and the Darim. We started Sota. Oh, correct. Okay,
Nazir.
You're right. In Ashi, we did a Nazir, but everybody who's doing their second round of Daf Yomi has already learned Nazir. Okay, scrap. But you're right, Robert. Right. So please, sometimes God, we'll learn it as well soon in Nazir and the Darim. What do you say?
He said sometimes that happens all.
Okay, but me about licking, right? So what can you now? We were discussing two things. We're discussing oils and wicks, right? We're discussing in this over here, we're discussing about all that you can't light with, right? So we see here, we're going to discuss wicks, and then the Gemara will say, we'll see just now that the Gemara will say that up until now we were discussing the wicks, and now we're discussing the shmanim, the different oils. In fact, I'd like you to go and look at it, but I can't find it. Yeah, if you look at three lines from the bottom of the Amud, go three lines down to the bottom of the Amud, almost in a little bit to the right, you see there, Tana, Ad Kan Pasul Ptilot, Mikan Ve'elach Pasul Shmanim. So the Gemara is saying, up and now we spoke about the wicks, now we discuss the oils. So the Mishnah as well, we split up into wicks and into oils. Let's start. So, Bamimadikin, right? Amadikin lo belechesh, lechesh is a cedar type of wood, velo bechosen, and either with flax, velo bechelech, and neither with silk. Velo beptilata idan, right? Idan, yeah, or willow type of stuff, some sort of willow type of wick. V'lo b'ptilat ha-midbar. P'tilat ha-midbar are some wicks which are made from things which grow in the desert, some sort of wild growing stuff. V'lo b'yerukah sh'al-pnei ha-mayim. And neither the yerukah, that's like the algae or the moss. How do they translate it there in your Gemara's? Algae or moss, what is it?
Moss.
Moss. Anybody got algae? Okay, not. All right. V'lo
b'ze...
Sorry?
Sea moss.
I don't know what
C-S-E-A, sea moss.
And what's the second word? Moss. Oh, it's a sea moss. Okay, that's like, okay, on the water. That's what we, okay, algae, right. Right.
Aaron knows the difference between sea moss and regular moss.
Sea moss grows on the water, and the Gemara will tell you in a second that it's very brittle. And then you've got other mosses which grow not on the water, on moist stuff, which are less brittle, I think. But we'll see that just now. Let's see. Okay. Right. V'lo b'zefet, and neither with tar. V'lo b'shava, and you can't use wax. This is a big story, eh? We all light wax candles. Anyhow. V'lo b'shemen kik, and neither with castor oil. V'lo b'shemen shreifa, and you can't use... You see, now we went from wicks now to oils, right? V'lo b'shemen shreifa. We'll see, the Gemara will tell us that when we get to moss, yorkub ashap and amayim, prior to that were all the wicks, and from there onwards, we're now talking about the oils. So zefet is you can't fuel your candle with a zefet. Lo b'shava, lo with wax. V'lo b'shemen kikra with castor oil. Lo b'shemen shreifa with burnt oil. V'lo b'eliyah. That's the oil that comes out of the tail, the fat of the tail. In this week's parsha, right, we've got with the keves. When you bring a keves, you bring the aliyah, right? And the chaylev of the Ramban's got a whole long malach to explain that the chaylev and the keves on the tail are two different things. And he goes to town. He's got a whole big problem with the tzedukim. Anyway, I'll get to that now. V'lo b'chaylev, neither with, remember, chaylev is the unkosher fats, right? All the non-kosher fats you have to burn in the korban. And then Nachum Amadi Omer, Madlik b'chaylev mevushal, you can use cooked, if the chaylev is cooked, you can use it. I suppose because then it loses its status as chaylev once it's been cooked. The Chachamim Omerim makes no difference. Echad mevushal, echad mevushal, whether it's cooked or not cooked, ain't madlikim bo, you can't cook it, it makes no difference. Okay, so that's a Mishnah. Everyone knows that Mishnah. Now we can move on. The Gemara says lechish. Now the Gemara, just like I never knew what any of these words were, neither did the Gemara, the guys in Bible never knew what these words were. These are all Mishnaic words, they've got a clue what they are. So Gemara says, what's lechesh? Right, so we said that lechesh was cedar wood. So the Gemara says, shuche da arza, exactly that. It's from the Erez, the tree, the cedar tree. So Gemara says, but wait a second, shuche da arza, eitz ba'amu. If that's the case, it's just a normal wood. It's any tree. What's the big deal? Look at Rashi there. Shuche ba'eitz ba'amu, pshita de lo chazi de ptila, elimadura. Obviously, you can't use wood for a wick. We're discussing wicks now, remember? Well, I can use wick for a wick. Wood is already a fire, is the fuel, not the wick. So Gemara says, no, but amar nita de itba. Remember, amra, we've seen this amar in Aramaic is wool. We've seen that word plenty of times. Tzemer in Aramaic is amar. Right, says, no, but amra nita de itba. Again, if you look at Rashi over here, kamin tzemer yesh ben klipatol etzo. If you take the bark off the cedar tree, so there's some fibers in between the bark and the wood, that's what we're talking about. That's what you make the wick from. Okay. And the Gemara says, v'lo b'chosen. What was chosen? Chosen, we said, was flax, some sort of like untreated flax. So Amrav Yosef says, no'oret shel pishtan. He says, that's what it is. It's no'oret shel pishtan. It's like the combed flax. So Amale Abaya. Abaya says, v'ha ketiv, v'haya chosen le'no'oret. If you look at Rashi over here, Abaya says, we got a pasuk over there. And the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Vaya hechason lin oret ufualo lin tzot uvarushnehem yachdav," that they're two different things. He says, "Yeah." In fact, the brackets, even though the Masur Hashas, the Rashal takes it out, but you can see Michlal the chosen lav oret. That can't be because it says, "And the chosen will become no oret." So, if the chosen will become no oret, then chosen can't be no oret. It can't be the same thing, right? It says El Amar Abaya kitne de daik velo napitz. Look at Rashi there. It says the chayim de lo napitz hasn't been like combed or separated. Ain shemed nimshach acharav. It doesn't absorb the oil, therefore it doesn't burn nice. Rashi says napitz karpidi unoret min adak shibon. The oret is the finer parts in it. The pasuk is telling you like this: pishtan hechazak yafech l'oret. It's a strong. You can't turn pishtan into an oret. Klomar hagibor yechalash. The strong one will become weak. It's a euphemism, right? That the strong pishtan, if you comb it, will become weak, you'll be able to burn it. So in other words, you're saying it is the pishtan, just in a different state of process. Then we said below bechelech, we said that was silk. So Amar Shmuel shaltina lekol nachute yames. Shmuel says, I never knew what this word was. I asked all the people, all the sea travelers, the sailors who travel around the world, trying to get an idea if they've heard what this term is. Va'amre li, the Mishra Hashath changes that in brackets there. Amre, they told me, they said to me, kulcha shame. It's called kulcha. What is, it's actually a very similar word, right? Chelech kulcha. So it's surprising they never thought of that themselves because it's a similar word, kulcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Barzir Amar Gushkara. And Rav Yitzchak Barzir says, no, it's not kulcha, it's gushkara. Look at Rashi. He says, psolet shel meshi. Hasuke kovaim. Vu beta tolaat. He says it's from the silkworm. Right? It's the silk from the silkworm. Vekorinlo fulyal. Unoftsimoto vetavuhu. They comb it out and then they spin it. Vosema mat mimen who beg to make a clothes from it. Vasur la asot bimenu p'tilim. You can't make a wick out of it. Why? K'ramah b'chop psulei p'tilot b'adniti. It's all psulim, right? Sheha'ur mesachsechet b'hen kofetzet v'divseket. Like my internet, it's not consistent, right? It doesn't burn consistently. It jumps and flatters all over the show. V'ein ashal hevet omer b'mkoma. The front understand its place. So therefore, you can't use this wick up here. Rabbi v'abaya havu yat v'ekam. So now the group is the story. Trying to understand what the silk is over here, right? So it's amazing. Huh? Already from the time of the Gemara, I suppose the silk trade, I mean, the silk route going to the east was not a new thing. But he said like this. He says, Rav Yitzchak Barzir, it's Rabin Babaye, Havu Yatve, Kamet Rav Rabban Nechemia. They were there with Rav Achua Dresh Galuta. Who was he? He was the brother of the Resh Galuta. So why is the Gemara telling us this? Obviously, he was a rich guy, could afford nice clothes. Chazei had to have a lavish, right? And they saw he was wearing a mitachsa. Rashi says over here, mitachsa, lavush asui mioto kelech, a silk jacket, he's wearing a silk coat, right? Like these Indian, what they call those Indian chiefs, whatever, I don't know, right? So he says, Amale Rabbi Labaya. So Rabbi got very excited. He said to Abaya, Hainu kelech titnan. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. That's the silk in our Mishnah that we learned in our Mishnah. So Amar Lei, so he said to him, Anan, Shira Paridina Karinan Lay. Says, no, we don't call it Kelech. We refer to that cloth that his jacket's made of as Shira Paranda or Farnada. I don't know how you pronounce it. Paranda. Look at Rashi over here. No, there's no Rashi over there. Sorry. So he says, so the Gemara brings a brighter now. So now the question is, what is it? Is Shira Paranda the same thing as Kelech or not? So brings a brighter Meitivei. So now we've got a Mishnah over here, right? This is actually a brighter over here, which the Gemara brings from Masechet Menachot. So it says, Ashiraim v'hakelech v'hasirikin. Three types of fabrics, all chayavin b'tzitzit. All three of them need tzitzit. Right? Look at Rashi over here. Shiraim, Me'il hasui mi'ikar hameshi, from the mainstay of the silk. Sirakin asui min hameshi harach, from the soft meshi, from the soft silk. Hamitpatzel umatsui b'meshi, v'korinlo bimkomenu yach. So obviously there were very different strands, different processes, different types of silks, different ways you could make silk, different parts of silk. And all of these three, shiraim, kelech, and sirakin, right? Rashi says, "Asui min arech yarash, from the rach, the soft one, right? Chayavim, but all three need tzitzit." So what the Gemara is saying over here is a fact that they're all three different garments, and the Gemara is saying each one of them needs tzitzit means they aren't the same, because Ravin said to Abaya that this cloak is kelech, and Abaya said to him, "No, this is shira." So the Gemara, so he wants to say that shira and is kelech; it's the same thing. They call it kelech. The Gemara said, no, you can't call it kelech, because shira and kelech are two different things. And that's what the Gemara says, tiyufta. Right? What's the tiyufta? That it's a tiyufta to abaya. Right? That they're all three different things, and therefore you can't call it the same thing. The Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe it's not so simple. Ibad eima shira lechud v'shira parad lechud. Maybe our Mishnah, the brighter there in Chulin, is talking about shira on its own, and what abaya is talking about is shira paranda. And they're different types of materials. Okay. Well, I've got a lot of competition. You can hear the dogs going wild outside. A lot of competition here. Okay. Please God, the internet guy is coming today to sort out my internet downstairs. All right. The next thing was Beptilat Ha'idan. Right? We said Beptilat Ha'idan was a willow, some type of willow. So the Gemara says, what is Beptilat Ha'idan? Achvina. Right? Achvina. Look at Rashi there. Arava. Right? An arava. Like in Alula, we have an arava, an arova, a willow. The Yesh Kamin Tsemer by people. And same idea over here. That there is that like wool in the flat in between the bark. Rabin Vavai Havukas Leba Pitka de Matronita. They're walking in the valleys there of Matrorita. So Rabin Vavai, obviously friends, we see previously they were walking together as well. Chazinu Lehenu, they saw a guy, right? Arvata. Chazinu Lehenu Arvata, they saw these willows. So Amari Rabbi Labaya, Hainu Idan Ditlan. This is the Idan we're speaking about in the Mishnah. Exactly what we said. So there he says the same thing, Rabbi Stabaya. This is it. So Amari Sabaya says to Rava, Hahiya, it's Baal, that's just a tree. What are you talking? How can that be a wick? So he says, no. He says, so Kalaf, Achvale, he picked it off. He peeled off the bark and he showed him, Achvale, Amarnita, the Baini Baini, the woolen strands inside between them. And he was very happy. Okay, then the Mishnah Karen said, Rabbi Midbar, Beplera Midbar. And not with the wild desert type of wicks. The Gemara says that is shavra. Look at Rashi there. Shavra mean esev aroch. It's a long weed. Vokrinoto urtia, also called urtia. Then we said velobe yeroke sha'al panei amayim. You can't use the wicks, the moss that's on the water. The Gemara says mahi. What is this? The Gemara says ilayma uchmete decharitzi. If you're going to tell me it's uchmet dechari, look at Rashi here. What's uchmet dechari? Makom kanus mayim gadal lehem kemin yirak roket. He says like that grows on the water. Like you've got water gathered in places like algae. That's why I thought it's like more like algae, you know. Like when you've got non-running water, you often find that it grows like bulhazia gets there and you have all this green stuff running on it. And he says that you can't use. Why can't you use that? Because if ruchem befarchi, you see the head, it's very brittle. Parich. It's cracks. They'll crack up easily. Right? Rashi says, you can't make a wick out of it. You try and make a wick, it'll just break. So it can't be that. El Amar Rav Papa, uchmete da arva. He says, what is it? Arva, arav is a ship, right? A boat. So he says, rather, Rashi says, yes, svina. Hamitakevet makom echad b'mayim. You've got a boat parked in the water there. Gadel yirak roket sviv shulem b'chutz. So algae starts growing, or moss starts growing up the ship. And that becomes really a bit more moist that you can then make a wick out of it. Okay, it's very technical, Amur, I know, but the Gemara's got to understand all these terms over here. Let's go very quickly. Tana, Hosifu Alein, the Gemara says now, in addition to these examples, Hosifu Alein shel tsemer, you also can't use wool, v'shel se'ar or hay. But the Gemara says, v'tana didan, what about our Tana? Why did he mention those things? He says, Tzemer michvat kavit. He says, you have to worry about wool, because wool, look, it says, Mipnei ha'ur v'ein dolek klal. If you try and light wool, it just in 1 second shrivels up completely, you're gone. You're not going to make a wick. We have to even mention it. And se'ar as well. Why not se'ar? Ichruche michrach. You know, if you take a match and you put your head, like singes. He says, well, hair singes very quickly. You can't make a wick out of it. No way, no purpose in actually learning it. Let's just quickly learn this last verse. Zefet. What zefet? Zefet is zifta, which is tar. Shava, yeah, he has shava kiruta. You see, we had there gvina, and we said kira, shava wax is kiruta. And tana adkan, the Gemara says, adkan pasu patiro. We learned about the wicks. Mikan ve'elach pasu shmanim. We're going to learn about shmanim. Let's end the five. Yeah, we'll kill the shmanim tomorrow.